And now chapter 16 of the Antya Lila, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Chaitanya Dadha Sri Vajati Gaudha Prabhu.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personally tasted the nectar of ecstatic love for Krishna, and then instructed his devotees how to taste it. Thus he enlightened them about ecstatic love of Krishna to initiate them into transcendental knowledge. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaitacharya. And all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus stayed at Jagannath Puri in the association of his devotees, always merged in ecstatic devotional love. The next year, as usual, the devotees from Bengal went to Jagannath Puri, and, as in previous years, there was a meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. Along with the devotees from Bengal came a gentleman named Kalidas. He never uttered anything but the holy name of Krishna. Kalidas was a very advanced devotee, yet he was simple and liberal. He would chant the holy name of Krishna while performing all his ordinary dealings. When he used to throw dice in jest, he would throw the dice while chanting Hare Krishna. Kalidas was an uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. Throughout his entire life, even in old age, he tried to eat the remnants of food left by Vaishnavas. Kalidas ate the remnants of food of as many Vaishnavas as there were in Bengal. He would go to all the Vaishnavas born in Brahmin families, be they neophyte or advanced devotees, and present them gifts of first-class edibles. He would beg remnants of food from such Vaishnavas, and if he did not receive any, he would hide. After the Vaishnavas finished eating, they would throw away their dishes or leaves, and Kalidas would come out of hiding, take the leaves, and lick up the remnants. He would also take gifts to the homes of Vaishnavas born in Shudra families. Then he would hide and eat the remnants of food they threw away in this manner. There was a great Vaishnav named Jadu Thakur who belonged to the Bunimali caste. Kalidas went to his home taking mangoes with him. Kalidas presented the mangoes to Jadu Thakur and offered him respectful obeisances. Then he also offered respectful obeisances to the Thakur's wife. When Kalidas went to Jadu Thakur, he saw that saintly person sitting with his wife. As soon as Jadu Thakur saw Kalidas, he likewise offered his respectful obeisances unto him. After a discussion for some time with Kalidas, Jadu Thakur said something to him in sweet words.
"I belong to a low caste, and you are a very respectable guest. How shall I serve you? If you will permit me, I shall send some food to a Brahmin's house, and there you may take prasad. If you do so, I shall then live very comfortably."
Kalidas replied,
"My dear sir, please bestow your mercy upon me. I have come to see you, although I am very fallen and sinful. Simply by seeing you, I have become purified. I am very obligated to you, for my life is now successful. My dear sir, I have one desire. Please be merciful to me by kindly placing your feet upon my head so that the dust on your feet may touch it."
Jadu Thakur replied,
"It does not befit you to ask this of me. I belong to a very low caste family, whereas you are a respectable rich gentleman.
Kalidas then recited some verses which Jadu Thakur was very happy to hear. From the Hari Bhakti Vilas, he quoted,
"Even though one is a very learned scholar in Sanskrit literature, if he is not engaged in pure devotional service, he is not accepted as my devotee. But if someone born in a family of dog-eaters is a pure devotee with no motives for enjoyment through fruitive activity or mental speculation, he is very dear to me. All respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted, for such devotees are indeed as worshipable as I am."
Then from the Srimad Bhagavatam he quoted,
"A person may be born in a Brahmin family and have all 12 brahminical qualities, but if in spite of being qualified he is not devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who has a navel shape like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandal who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the service of the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmin family or to have brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must become a pure devotee of the Lord. If a svapacho or chandala is a devotee, he delivers not only himself but his whole family. Whereas a Brahmin who is not a devotee but simply has brahminical qualifications, he cannot even purify himself, not to speak of his family. My dear Lord, anyone who always keeps your holy name on his tongue is greater than an initiated Brahmin, although he may be born in a family of dog-eaters, and therefore, by material calculations, be the lowest of men, he is glorious nevertheless. That is the wonderful power of chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who chants the holy name is understood to have performed all kinds of austerities. He has studied all the Vedas. He has performed all the great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. He has already taken his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage, and it is he who is factually the Aryan."
Hearing these quotations from the revealed scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, Jadu Thakur replied,
"Yes, this is true, for it is the version of Shastra. It is true, however, for one who is genuinely advanced in devotion to Krishna. Such a position may befit others, but I do not possess such spiritual power. I belong to a lower class and have not even a pinch of devotion to Krishna."
Kalidas again offered his obeisances to Jadu Thakur and asked his permission to go. The saint Jadu Thakur followed him as he left. After bidding farewell to Kalidas, Jadu Thakur returned to his home, leaving the marks of his feet plainly visible in many places. Kalidas smeared the dust from those footprints all over his body. Then he hid in a place near Jadu Thakur's home. Upon returning home, Jadu Thakur saw the mangoes Kalidas had presented. Within his mind, he offered them to Krishna Chandra. Jadu Thakur's wife then took the mangoes from their coverings of banana tree leaves and bark and offered them to Jadu Thakur, who began to suck and eat them. When he finished eating, he left the seeds on the banana leaf, and his wife, after feeding her husband, later began to eat. After she finished eating, she filled the banana leaves and bark with the seeds, picked them up, and threw them into a ditch where all the refuse was thrown. Kalidas licked the banana bark and the mango seeds and skins, and while licking them, he was overwhelmed in jubilation by ecstatic love. In this way, Kalidas ate the remnants of food left by all the Vaishnavas residing in Bengal. When Kalidas visited Jagannath Puri, Neelachal, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed great mercy upon him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been regularly visiting the temple of Jagannath every day, and at that time Govinda, his personal servant, used to carry his water pot and go with him. On the northern side of the Shingadwar behind the door, there are 22 steps leading to the temple, and at the bottom of those steps is a ditch. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would wash his feet in this ditch, and then he would enter the temple to see Lord Jagannath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered his personal servant Govinda that no one should take the water that had washed his feet. Because of the Lord's strict order, no living being could take the water. Some of his intimate devotees, however, would take it by some trick. One day, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was washing his feet in that place, Kalidas came and extended his palm to take the water. Kalidas drank one palmful, then a second, and a third. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade him to drink more. "Do not act in this way anymore. I have fulfilled your desire as far as possible." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most exalted, omniscient, supreme personality of Godhead, and therefore he knew that Kalidas, in the core of his heart, had full faith in Vaishnavas. Because of this quality, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu satisfied him with mercy not attainable by anyone else. On the southern side, behind and above the 22 steps, is a deity of Lord Nrsingadev. It is on the left as one goes up the steps toward the temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his left side toward the deity, offered obeisances to Lord Nrsinga as he proceeded toward the temple. He recited the following verses again and again while offering obeisances. "I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, Lord Nrsingadev. You are the giver of pleasure to Maharaj Prahlad, and your nails cut the chest of Hiranyakashipu like a chisel cutting stone. Lord Nrsingadev is here, and he is also there on the opposite side. Wherever I go, there I see Lord Nrsingadev. He is outside and within my heart. Therefore I take shelter of Lord Nrsingadev, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead." Having offered obeisances to Lord Nrsingadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Jagannath. Then he returned to his residence, finished his noon duties, and took his lunch. Kalidas was standing outside the door, expecting the remnants of food from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Knowing this, Mahaprabhu gave an indication to Govinda. Govinda understood all the indications of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he immediately delivered the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's food to Kalidas. Taking the remnants of the food of Vaishnavas is so valuable that it induced Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to offer Kalidas his supreme mercy. Therefore, giving up hatred and hesitation, try to eat the remnants of the food of Vaishnavas, for you will thus be able to achieve your desired goal of life. The remnants of food offered to Lord Krishna are called Mahaprasad. After the same Mahaprasad has been taken by a devotee, the remnants are elevated to Mahaprasad. The dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. By rendering service to these three, one attains the supreme goal of ecstatic love for Krishna. In all the revealed scriptures, this is loudly declared again and again. Therefore, my dear devotees, please hear from me, for I insist again and again. Please keep faith in these three and render service to them without hesitation. From these three, one achieves the highest goal of life, ecstatic love of Krishna. This is the greatest mercy of Lord Krishna. The evidence is Kalidas himself. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at Jagannath Puri, Nilachal, and he invisibly bestowed great mercy upon Kalidas. That year, Shivananda Sen brought with him his wife and youngest son, Puridas. Taking his son, Shivananda Sen went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his residence. He made his son offer respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the boy again and again to chant the name of Krishna, but the boy would not utter the holy name. Although Shivananda Sen tried with much endeavor to get the boy to speak Krishna's holy name, the boy would not utter it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I have induced the whole world to take to the holy name of Krishna. I have induced even the trees and immovable plants to chant the holy name. But I could not induce this boy to chant the holy name of Krishna." Hearing this, Svarup Damodar Goswami began to speak. He said, "My Lord, you have given him initiation into the name of Krishna, but after receiving the mantra, he will not express it in front of everyone. This boy chants the mantra within his mind, but does not say it aloud. That is his intention as far as I can guess." Another day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to the boy, "Recite, my dear Puridas," the boy composed the following verse and expressed it before everyone. He said, "Lord Sri Krishna is just like a bluish lotus flower for the ears. He is ointment for the eyes, a necklace of Indranila gems for the chest, and universal ornaments for the gopi damsels of Vrindavan. Let that Lord Sri Hari Krishna be glorified." Although the boy was only 7 years old and still had no education, he composed such a nice verse. Everyone was struck with wonder. This is the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy, which even the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, cannot estimate. All the devotees remained with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continuously for 4 months. Then the Lord ordered them back to Bengal, and therefore they returned. As long as the devotees were in Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu maintained his external consciousness. But after their departure, his chief engagement was again the madness of ecstatic love for Krishna. Throughout the entire day and night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly relished Krishna's beauty, fragrance, and mellow as if he were touching Krishna hand to hand. One day, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit the temple of Lord Jagannath, the gatekeeper at Shingadvar approached him and offered respectful obeisances. The Lord asked him, "Where is Krishna, my life and soul? Please show me Krishna." Saying this, he caught the doorkeeper's hand. The doorkeeper replied,
"The son of Maharaj Nanda is here. Please come along with me and I shall show you."
Lord Chaitanya said to the doorman, "You are my friend. Please show me where the Lord of my heart is." After the Lord said this, they both went to the place known as Jagamohan, where everyone views Lord Jagannath. The doorkeeper said,
"Just see, here is the best of the personalities of Godhead. From here you may see the Lord to the full satisfaction of your eyes."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed behind the huge column called the Garuda Stambha and looked upon Lord Jagannath. But as he looked, he saw that Lord Jagannath had become Lord Krishna with his flute to his mouth. In his book known as Gauranga Stava Kalparviksha, Raghunath Das Goswami has described this incident very nicely. He said, "My dear friend the doorkeeper, where is Krishna, the Lord of my heart? Kindly show him to me quickly." With these words, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed the doorkeeper like a madman. The doorkeeper grasped his hand and replied very hastily, "Come, see your beloved. May that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rise within my heart and thus make me mad also." The offering of food known as Gopal Vallabha Bhog was then given to Lord Jagannath. An aarti was performed with the sound of the conch and the ringing of bells. When the aarti finished, the prasad was taken out, and the servants of Lord Jagannath came to offer some to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The servants of Lord Jagannath first garlanded Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then offered him Lord Jagannath's prasad. The prasad was so nice that its aroma alone, to say nothing of its taste, would drive the mind mad. The prasad was made of very valuable ingredients. Therefore, the servant wanted to feed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a portion of it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted a portion of the prasad. Govinda took the rest and bound it in the end of his wrapper. To Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prasad tasted millions upon millions of times better than nectar, and thus he was fully satisfied. The hair all over his body stood on end, and incessant tears flowed from his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered, "Where has such a taste in this prasad come from? Certainly it is due to its having been touched by the nectar of Krishna's lips." Understanding this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt an emotion of ecstatic love for Krishna, but upon seeing the servants of Lord Jagannath, he restrained himself. The Lord said again and again, "Only by great fortune may one come by a particle of the remnants of food offered to the Lord." The servants of the Jagannath temple inquired, "What is the meaning of this?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "These are the remnants of food that Krishna has eaten and thus turned to nectar with his lips. It surpasses heavenly nectar, and even such demigods as Lord Brahma find it difficult to obtain. Remnants left by Krishna are called pela. Anyone who obtains even a small portion must be considered very fortunate. One who is only ordinarily fortunate cannot obtain such mercy. Only persons who have the full mercy of Krishna can receive such remnants. The word Sukriti refers to pious activities performed by the mercy of Krishna. One who is fortunate enough to obtain such mercy receives the remnants of the Lord's food and thus becomes glorious." After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the servants. After seeing the next offering of food to Lord Jagannath, a function known as Upalabhog, he returned to his own quarters. After finishing his noon duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate his lunch, but he constantly remembered the remnants of Krishna's food. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his external activities, but his mind was filled with ecstatic love. With great difficulty, he tried to restrain his mind, but it would always be overwhelmed by deep ecstasy. After finishing his evening duties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with his personal associates in a secluded place and discussed the pastimes of Krishna in great jubilation. Following the indications of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda brought the prasad of Lord Jagannath. The Lord sent some to Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bhadati. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then gave shares of the prasad to Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and all the other devotees. As they tasted the uncommon sweetness and fragrance of the prasad, everyone's mind was struck with wonder. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "These ingredients, such as sugar, camphor, black pepper, cardamom, cloves, butter, spices, and licorice, they're all material. Everyone has tasted these material substances before. However, in these ingredients, there are extraordinary tastes and uncommon fragrances. Just taste them and see the difference in the experience. Apart from the taste, even the fragrance pleases the mind and makes one forget any other sweetness besides its own. Therefore, it is to be understood that the spiritual nectar of Krishna's lips has touched these ordinary ingredients and transferred to them all their spiritual qualities. An uncommon, greatly enchanting fragrance and taste that makes one forget all other experiences are attributes of Krishna's lips.
this prasad has been made available only as a result of many pious activities. Now go taste it with great faith and devotion.
Loudly chanting the holy name of Hari, all of them tasted the prasad. As they tasted it, their minds became mad in the ecstasy of love. In ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Rai to recite some verses. Thus Ramananda Rai spoke as follows.
O hero of charity, please deliver unto us the nectar of your lips. That nectar increases lusty desires for enjoyment and diminishes lamentation in the material world. Kindly give us the nectar of your lips, which are touched by your transcendentally vibrating flute, for that nectar makes all human beings forget all other attachments.
Upon hearing Ramananda Rai quote this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Then he recited the following verse, which had been spoken by Srimati Radharani in great anxiety.
My dear friend, the all-surpassing nectar from the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, can be obtained only after many, many pious activities. For the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan, that nectar vanquishes the desire of all other tastes. Madan Mohan always chews pan that surpasses the nectar of heaven. He is certainly increasing the desires of my tongue.
After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed by ecstatic loving emotions. Talking like a madman, he began to explain the meaning of the two verses.
My dear lover, let me describe some of the characteristics of your transcendental lips. Oh, they agitate the mind and body of everyone. They increase lusty desires for enjoyment. They destroy the burden of material happiness and lamentation. And they make one forget all material tastes. The whole world falls under their control. They vanquish shame, religion, and patience, especially in women. Indeed, they inspire madness in the minds of all women. Your lips increase the greed of the tongue and thus attract it. Considering all this, we see that the activities of your transcendental lips are always perplexing. My dear Krishna, since you are a male, it is not very extraordinary that the attraction of your lips can disturb the minds of a woman. I am ashamed to say this, but your lips sometimes attract even your flute, which is also considered a male. It likes to drink the nectar of your lips, and thus it also forgets all other tastes. Aside from conscious living beings, even unconscious matter is sometimes made conscious by your lips. Therefore, your lips are great magicians. Paradoxically, although your flute is nothing but dry wood, your lips make it drink their nectar. They create a mind and senses in the dry wooden flute and give it, yes, give it transcendental bliss. That flute is a very cunning male who drinks again and again the taste of another male's lips. It advertises its qualities and says to the gopis, O gopis, if you are so proud of being women, come forward and enjoy your property, the nectar of the lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thereupon, the flute said angrily to me, give up your shame, fear, and religion, and come drink the lips of Krishna. On that condition, I shall give up my attachment for them. If you do not give up your shame and fear, however, I shall continuously drink the nectar of Krishna's lips. I am slightly fearful, because you also have the right to drink that nectar. But as for the others, I consider them like straw. the nectar of Krishna's lips, combined with the vibration of his flute, attracts all people of the three worlds. However, if we gopis remain patient out of respect for religious principles, the flute then criticizes us. The nectar of your lips and vibration of your flute join together to loosen our belts and induce us to give up shame and religion even before our superiors. As if catching us by our hair, they forcibly take us away and surrender us unto you to become your maidservants. Hearing of these incidents, people laugh at us. We have become completely subordinate to the flute. This flute is nothing but a dry stick of bamboo, but it becomes our master and insults us in so many ways that it forces us into a predicament. What can we do but tolerate it? The mother of a thief cannot cry loudly for justice when the thief is punished. Therefore, we remain silent. That is the policy of these lips. Just consider the other injustices. Everything that touches those lips, including food, drink, or betel, becomes just like nectar. It is then called Krishna Pila, or remnants left by Krishna. Even after much prayer, the demigods themselves cannot obtain even a small portion of the remnants of such food. Just imagine the pride of those remnants. Only a person who has acted piously for many, many births and has thus become a devotee can obtain the remnants of such food. The betel chewed by Krishna is priceless, and the remnants of such chewed betel from his mouth are said to be the essence of nectar. When the gopis accept these remnants, their mouths become like his spittoons. Therefore, my dear Krishna, please give up all the tricks you have set up so expertly. Do not try to kill the life of the gopis with the vibration of your flute. Because of your joking and laughing, you are becoming responsible for the killing of women. It would be better for you to satisfy us by giving us the charity of the nectar of your lips.
While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking like this, his mind changed. His anger subsided, but his mental agitation increased. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued,
"The nectar from Krishna's lips is supremely difficult to obtain. But if one gets some, his life becomes successful. When a person competent to drink that nectar does not do so, that shameless person continues his life uselessly. There are persons who are unfit to drink that nectar, but who nevertheless drink it continuously, whereas some who are suitable never get it and thus die of greed. It is therefore to be understood that such an unfit person must have obtained the nectar of Krishna's lips on the strength of some austerity."
Again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Roy,
"Please say something. I want to hear something."
Understanding the situation, Ramananda Roy recited the following words of the gopis from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
"My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for the gopis for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river, on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body.
Upon hearing the recitation of this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became absorbed in ecstatic love, and with a greatly agitated mind, he began to explain its meaning like a madman. Some gopis said to other gopis, "Just see the astonishing pastimes of Krishna, the son of Rajendra. He will certainly marry all the gopis of Vrindavan. Therefore the gopis know for certain that the nectar of Krishna's lips is their own property and cannot be enjoyed by anyone else." My dear gopis, fully consider how many pious activities this flute performed in his past life. We do not know what places of pilgrimage he visited, what austerities he performed, or what mantra he chanted. This flute is utterly unfit because it is merely a dead bamboo stick. Moreover, it belongs to the male sex. Yet, this flute is always drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips, which surpasses nectarine sweetness of every description. Only in hope of that nectar do the gopis continue to live. Although the nectar of Krishna's lips is the absolute property of the gopis, the flute, which is just an insignificant stick, is forcibly drinking that nectar and loudly inviting the gopis to come and drink it also. Just imagine the strength of the flute's austerities and good fortune. Even great devotees drink the nectar of Krishna's lips after the flute has done so. When Krishna takes his bath in universally purifying rivers like the Yamuna and the Ganges of the celestial world, the great personalities of those rivers greedily and jubilantly drink the remnants of the nectarine juice from his lips. Aside from the rivers, the trees standing on the banks like great ascetics and engaging in welfare activities for all living entities, they drink the nectar of Krishna's lips by drawing water from the river with their roots. We cannot understand why they drink like that. The trees on the bank of the Yamuna and Ganges are always jubilant. They appear to be smiling with their flowers and shedding tears in the form of flowing honey. Just as the forefathers of a Vaishnava's son or grandson feel transcendental bliss, the trees feel blissful because the flute is a member of their family. The gopis considered, "The flute is completely unfit for his position. We want to know what kind of austerities the flute executed so that we may also perform the same austerities. Although the flute is unfit, he is drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips. Seeing this, we qualified gopis are dying of unhappiness. Therefore, we must consider the austerities the flute underwent in his past life." While thus speaking like a madman, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became full of ecstatic emotion. In the company of his two friends, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, he sometimes danced, sometimes sang, and sometimes became unconscious in ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed his days and nights in this way. Expecting the mercy of Swarup, Rupa, Sanatan, and Raghunath Das, and taking their lotus feet on my head, I, the most fallen Krishna Das, continue chanting the epic Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is sweeter than the nectar of transcendental bliss. This ends chapter 16 of the Antya Lila. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes nectar from the lips of Lord Sri Krishna.